sign of life now. On a bed with sorrow and tears for my loved ones. Oh, I wish I could tell them all the joy that I feel. Though my body is weary, my soul is uplifted, my sins are forgiven, and my Jesus is real. Are dim, I can see heaven clearly. Though my voice grows feeble, I will sing just the same. In my heart there's a song, as I see the gates open, I'll sing forever in a joyous refrain.
Hallelujah. God is good. I was watching a street preacher on the internet. How many of you ever watch street preachers on the internet? They come with, "Thus saith the Lord." And the strange thing was, he was stationed beside a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church. And the reason he was there was because of the rainbow flag they were flying. Anybody knows what a rainbow flag is? What it's for? What it represents? It doesn't represent a rainbow in the sky. It represents the homosexual community. So he was debating with those people. Why do you have that flag flying? Why do you honor that abomination? And this guy came up to him and said, "Do you read the teachings of Jesus?" "Yes, I do. I also read the teachings of Paul." "Well, I don't want nothing to do with Paul. I listen to what Jesus said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believes in him shall have everlasting life." He never, ever condemned a homosexual. And I'm standing there, my eyes couldn't believe what I was seeing. And this street preacher said, "You guys have turned into heretics. You started out good, but it seems like you have turned away. Because the scripture are clear on that. If it's the Apostle Paul telling it, we don't want nothing to do with that." How many of you love the Apostle Paul? I heard one guy telling me, "I don't trust the Apostle Paul." I trust him to the point where I believe whatever he wrote down, except when he says it, it is the voice of the Holy Spirit. So it's really not the Apostle Paul that's speaking. It's the Holy Spirit. God chose him. God moved him. And he wrote down what the Holy Spirit, which is God, which is Jesus, told him to write. So should we trust him? Of course we should, hallelujah. Because God sent him to show us the mystery of salvation. He explains it very clearly. So these things are happening all over the world today. Deception, doctrines of devils. And you know what? That's prophesied. These things will happen as we see the day approaching. I was listening to Mr. Safati. How many of you watch that guy? He is current and up to date in his documentaries or in his preaching. And he was teaching on the millennium kingdom. Towards the millennium kingdom, after 1,000 years, Satan will be loosened. And guess what? After having everything 100% on this earth, no doctors, no policemen, you ordered the rain as you wanted it, the economy was flowing, just like it started to flow in the States. The stock markets were up. Unbelievable stuff happening. People were just having a good time for 1,000 years. And Satan is unleashed, unloosened. He goes out, and guess what? The people turn away from God by the millions and join Satan and try to dethrone God. That's the man's heart in its deception and in its darkness. You look at what's happening in the States today, the economy is starting to bloom. They have never seen anything like that as far as jobs is concerned. Everything's going good, but there's only one problem. We have Donald Trump at the steering. If we could get rid of Donald Trump, that's what the world says to God. If we could get rid of God. So regardless how good it gets, man's heart is so depraved. If they have to listen to authority, especially God's authority, they would rather have all the tyranny, the deception, the horrors that come with it. That's how people are. And for those of us who are born again, we see who's behind it. So how is the church in this? How do we operate when it comes to following the Word of God? I had a challenging message this week, which the Lord took me in, and I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you, where do you stand with your salvation? And where do you stand with the people of God? How do we judge one another? How do we look at things and say, this is from God, this is not from God? The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, judge not, lest you be judged. There's cases where we judge, but we have to understand, who are we? Where is our heart? Do we truly belong to God? Before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts to your word, to your voice. Help us to understand so that we can see. And thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of God, you may be seated for those of you who are still standing. The grace of God is unbelievable. When you start studying the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this world to seek and save that which is lost. And he makes an interesting statement. There's a lot of people who claim, whatever happens, it's the will of the Lord. It's the will of God. Well, I got news for you. If that would be the case, then everybody would get saved. Then the universalists are right. Everybody's going to get saved. But the Lord is willing that none perish. But will people perish? Of course, because not all people have faith. In John chapter 6 in verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now who is drawn by the Father? Everybody is. There is a time and a season for everyone where they hear the voice of God, because he is willing none perish. But those people who reject him, who don't care for him, he simply withdraws and says, okay, we leave you to yourself. But those who turn to him, those who respect him, those who take time, these are drawn closer and closer. Have you ever noticed when you see a light from a distance? You look and you see the light. That's all there is. But as you get closer, you start seeing stuff that's around the light. You see maybe a tree, you see a rock, or whatever is around the light. When the closer you get, the more pronounced everything is around the light. This is how God is. From a distance, he's a light. But the closer you come to him, the more you see his goodness. You see it with your physical eyes. You experience it. So are you drawn to God today? What are your interests? What are you attracted to? When I first heard about this amazing grace, I was attracted to the Lord like an insect that is attracted to a light. I wanted to get close to that light. And let me tell you, I burden myself every now and then, but I love getting closer because God is showing me things. And not only showing me things, but also giving me this assurance that is beyond understanding. John chapter 6 and verse 45. It is written in the prophets, listen to this, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father comes unto me. They shall be taught of God. I want you to pay close attention to this one. Who led you to Christ? Somebody must have spoken to you, or you read the word and you were brought to Christ. But is that where it stayed? Have you heard the voice of God? Have you been taught by God that you belong to God? If God hasn't shown you, if the assurance isn't in your heart, then you got a problem. I got something written here. When we try to grasp the truth of the word through information instead of revelation, you will not get the full picture. In other words, it'll be up here, but not down here. If you have been taught by God that you belong to him, nothing on earth will shake your foundation. But if your salvation basically depends on what somebody told you, then somebody else can come along and untell you. Why? It is because the Spirit of the living God hasn't spoken to you. So just saying you accepted Jesus and yes, you're now a Christian. Are you sure in your heart that's all you did? Do you know that you know that you belong to God? Has God taught you that you are his child? That's a challenge. That's a challenge I want to give to this congregation and to those watching over the internet. There's quite a few people watching over the internet. So do you know that you belong to God? Has God told you, has he taught you that that you are His. If that happened to you, then hallelujah, you are in good hands. There is no other foundation except that one. How do you start? It starts by believing. You get a relationship with God, and it, after a while, not only believing, you become part of it. And it's become part of you. You in Him, and He in you. That's how Scripture describes it. And then, once you know that, once you're in Christ, then you are qualified to do His bidding. Now listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. The person who's really born again, who understands salvation, knows that his sufficiency is only in Christ Jesus. When I look at my salvation, I know that it has nothing to do with me except my leaning on Jesus. I didn't do anything. He did everything. Whenever I get up to preach here, yes, I have to. My wife has to dress me, and I have to get into my car, to my vehicle, and come here. I have to be prepared to preach. But without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you guys would fall asleep instead of leaning forward in your seats like you're doing. You're leaning forward. You were looking at me. I can see it. So you're interested. So my sufficiency is of God. The anointing that you experience when I preach does not come from myself. It goes through me from God. Have you ever heard somebody preach who is anointed where you can't wait to hear the next word? That's the anointing of God. If somebody prays for somebody to get healed and the person is healed, that's the anointing going through this person into that one who is being healed. We have nothing to do with it. We're just conduits. The difference is, how willing are we to be a conduit for God? God is so full of electricity that if you even get a little bit, you'll get a shock of your life. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you been shocked by the Holy Spirit? So it says, our sufficiency is of God, who also made us able ministers. The word able means that we're able to do it. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The Apostle Paul said, I didn't come only with words, but I came with power. You can read these scriptures all your life. If the Holy Spirit doesn't shine or reveal them to you, you'll never really understand what they're saying. That's why so many religions are going to, people in religions are going to end up in the lake of fire, because the letter kills, but the Spirit makes alive. They have never progressed from the letter to the Spirit. That's the difference. How many of you know that you have the Spirit of God in you once you're born again? What's your outlook on Christ, on this world? What do you see? When I look on this world, I see incredible things taking place that you didn't hear about 20 years ago. Maybe it's because of the technology we have. We know that people are getting worse and worse. They're going for Satan, lock, stock, and barrel without being ashamed of it. Did you know that they passed a law in New York? They can now abort a baby 1 second before it's born. They go in and crush its head, cut off the baby parts to sell them. Basically, that's what it's all about. They are worshiping Satan through doing this. And they just passed a law in New York. We all want to be Satan worshipers. Well, God is one of these days going to set this thing straight. So where do we stand with this? Do we believe that we are sufficient? Has God made us able ministers? Then why don't we see incredible things happening amongst us? Yes, you see the odd person getting healed. Yes, you see certain things happening. But what is the problem? What is that dark cloud of unbelief that is hovering over North America? You go to third world countries, you hear of people getting healed. They do all sorts of stuff. And you just sit in amazement and wonder, what's the holdup here? I want to read you the story on what the holdup is. Mark chapter 16, verse 2 and 3. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not these his sisters here with us? And they were offended with him. This guy was too close to home. Mr. Dave Duell told me it this way: the farther away from home, the bigger the shot you are. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? People who know you, who are closest to you, are the ones that'll have sarcasm when you start operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. I can take ignorance, but sarcasm is of the devil. And that's the worst demon to deal with. It's this sarcasm when the power of God is moving and you're trying to somehow bring it out in the open where people will see it. But here's the problem. Hey, this is Dave Wallner. We know who that guy is. I seen him swear not to hurt him swear not too long ago. He can't do nothing. He can't be of God. Just giving you a short example here. Listen to this, Mark chapter 6 and verse 6. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and amongst his own kin, and in his own house. He could dare do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. That is where the problem lies. The unbelief that the scripture is today as it was when Jesus was here. And here in our country, the unbelief is great. I want to give you an extreme example. How many of you heard of the heavenly man? All of you or none of you? We had him here in Southland Church. I just wanted to come close to him to experience who he was, because I have read a little booklet by a man called David Hunt of the Heavenly Man. The incredible things that person did in China. They locked him up. He didn't eat for about 75 days. No food, no drink. He tried to kill himself. And he had this ministry of healing and doing wondrous miracles. And David Hunt wrote the little booklet. And I read it. And I was thinking, wow, I wish I could get to meet that guy. You know, that's interesting. It comes from China. But then I went on Facebook or on YouTube, and I looked up about the heavenly man in China. And there's quite a few preachers in China who tell us that the heavenly man isn't what he says he is. He's not really telling the truth. So there you go, in his own land, they don't believe him. Here, we believe him because it comes from China. He is quite the guy. Now, I want to show you something which is amazing. David Hunt is quite a guy. How many of you have heard of him? He's gone to be with the Lord. Used to listen to him all the time. He would proclaim that Benny Hinn was a deceiver. He believed what the heavenly man did, but didn't believe what Benny Hinn did. So it perked up my ears. My, what's going on here? Why is this guy so reverenced and this guy not? This comes from China. This guy is here. So one day, by the grace of God, I was watching Benny Hinn, and there's the heavenly man. Oh, boy. If the heavenly man is so godly, wouldn't he notice that Benny Hinn is such a deceiver? Wouldn't he see that Benny Hinn is somebody out to steal, kill, and to destroy? No, he didn't do that. What did he do? Started talking about the Christians of China. Guess what Benny Hinn and the heavenly man did? They both knelt down and they both prayed, each in their own language, for the Christians of China. I sat there in amazement. Who are our brothers? Who are our sisters? Do we recognize them? When we get to heaven, how will we greet them? When I get there, I don't want to have egg on my face. I want to enjoy those people who reverence Jesus Christ. They might do stuff that I don't quite agree with. That's okay. That's between them and God. I don't know the heavenly man. I really don't know Benny Hinn. I know myself. I know those around me. I know how I operate. I'm qualified to judge myself. But the Apostle Paul said, even that's not good enough. For God will judge me. I don't really know if I'm doing it right. Isn't that interesting? So let's look at that. Let's reverence it. Let's see what the Word of God says. If God says we are able ministers, if God says we are sufficient, then we should be able to do what God has commissioned us to do. And what is that? That is to go into all the world, preach the gospel, cast out devils, heal the sick. I'm telling you, making disciples of whosoever. But this cloud of unbelief, we have to get rid of. First in our own hearts, then we have to pray against it so that we can help one another. But if there is going to be a sarcasm, and a kind of sneering at what the Word of God teaches, then you have already lost the battle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, it tells us this. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So for those of us who call themselves born again by the Spirit of God, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And one day in the kingdom of God, we will rejoice with one another. We may have to come up to each other and say, I'm sorry, I misjudged you. Or we may have to wash some feet because some of those people are incredible preachers of God. The Bible teaches how sweet are the feet of them that preach the gospel. So be careful. You may one day have to take a washcloth and a basin of water and wash the feet of those who you didn't agree with. And not because you'll have to, but because you will love to. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible teaches us. We're going to love one another. And I'm telling you, I can't wait to get there. If we look at the signs of the times, if we look at the deception that is going on in this world, those who truly hate God, they're easy to pick out. If somebody preaches the gospel, I give him the benefit of the doubt. But the Apostle Paul says, as long as the gospel gets preached, I give him the benefit of the doubt. If there's error, if they teach error in the churches, like universal salvation or getting saved through works or any of those things, that we need to judge, that we need to come against, that we need to pray for. But to come against a brother who teaches Christ, who preaches the joy of the Holy Spirit, watch it. Let God be the judge. For we are not his policemen. We aren't. We are his subject, and we are his creation. So, by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. By one Spirit, there's neither Jew, there's neither Gentiles, there's neither bond, there's neither free, and there's another scripture that says there's neither female also involved. So the female is elevated to the same place we all are. Hallelujah. I love this. The Bible puts us exactly on the same playing field. There is no schism in the body of Christ. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. For God is waiting for you to look at him for some advice on how to go on. Hallelujah. Let the Lord bless you. Amen.
Soul insurance, I've got soul insurance guaranteed eternal life and peace of mind. Soul insurance, I've got soul insurance paid in full by Christ to last the whole lifetime.
Buy insurance on your home that expires 1st of June. Buy insurance on your life, so we're told. Policies just renewed, assume the risk that you'll be sued. What about the risk you're taking on your soul?
Soul insurance, I've got soul insurance guaranteed eternal life and peace of mind. Soul insurance, I've got soul insurance paid in full by Christ to last the whole lifetime.
Buy insurance that you need to make your future guaranteed. Paid in full when Jesus died on the cross. If you take it, it is free. Good insurance policy. Benefits are yours at no extra cost.
Soul insurance, I've got soul insurance guaranteed eternal life and peace of mind.